Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Hurricane Hotline, everyone. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. Coming up on Saturday, another 12:30 game. Miami and Duke meeting for the 20th time. Hurricanes lead the all-time series 15-4. We'll talk about Duke here momentarily, but we look back at Saturday's victory over the Hokies of Virginia Tech. Great atmosphere, great weather, terrific fall afternoon for just a perfect day for football, and Miami played well for the most part. The penalties, we'll get to that in a moment, but they did a lot of things well.
Yeah, Joe, I don't want to minimize that victory in any way, shape, or form. For my whole career, it's been hard to win at Virginia Tech, and it was hard to win there Saturday, and that is a tough place to play. They are a well-coached team. They're not the Virginia Tech that we knew from the Big East days, but they certainly had talent there. The crowd can overwhelm you if you let it. And if you're going to win the ACC, you got to win your road games. And Miami took the first step towards that last Saturday.
Van Dyke went over 300 yards again. He did it to Virginia. In fact, Van Dyke's numbers against Virginia Tech last year and this year were almost identical. In two games against Virginia Tech, he's thrown for like 750 yards. But in the last two games, he's thrown for like 800 yards. And he seems to be playing without thinking. He just seems to be playing.
You know, I hope we start giving him the credit that he deserves, and Frank Ponce and Josh Gattis and head coach Mario Cristobal, for how they went from a player that could not have started any worse against Middle Tennessee, ends up having to come sit on the bench during that football game, has a week off, and then goes and plays an outstanding game and then follows it up again. And me dealing with him in the post game, you see that there is a guy that's more comfortable. He's more confident in himself. He's more confident in the offense. And really what I think is helping him is that he's generating some plays from the outside. Colby Young was not a part of the Middle Tennessee game for the most part until the end of it, right? And then you start looking at it, and Breshard Smith is stepping up, and he's overcoming the loss of Restrepo, but he's also finding new ways to generate plays. But when you boil it down, a young man like that who's a sophomore, to be able to handle the benching and be able to come back and look as good as he is in back-to-back weeks, he's put his time in, and so has his staff.
I'm not sure how the coaching staff would grade his accuracy on throws, on getting to where they're supposed to be, whether it was caught or not, but I'll bet you it's nearly 80%.
Yeah, he's throwing the football with conviction, but he's comfortable in the routes, and he's comfortable in the play call, and that's leading to the high percentage. And he's going to need it this week against Duke. Miami's going to have to make plays. And I know there's been a lot of conversation about the run game, the run game, the run game. I'll remind you, there are game plans The plan, I'm sure, for Miami is to run the football as successful as they can. If they're not having success with it, a lot of that normally is because the defense will not allow you to have the success. Tyler struggled in the beginning of the year, and he's getting on a roll in the passing game. You'll start seeing the running game come because they're going to have to worry about the pass game. They didn't have to worry about the pass game. Miami was dropping balls early in the season. They'd lost Restrepo. Your quarterback appeared to be struggling. That's flipped the switch, and I think what you'll see now is they're going to have to worry about more coverage than they are stopping the run, and there in turn will give you some more run success.
He's had 8 straight games against the ACC where he's gone over 300 yards. Now, he's duplicated his numbers. His numbers against Carolina this year were about what they were a year ago, even better this year than last year. His numbers against Virginia Tech, I think, were within 5 yards. If he matches his numbers against Duke from last year on Saturday, he's going to throw for 400 yards again, or nearly 400.
Yeah, well, that's called recall. That's the value of experience. He didn't have such a great game against North Carolina up there early on, through interceptions, and was below 50%. I think it was 44% completion against North Carolina up there last year. Comes back down here, and Miami lost the football game, but he battled through it and made some plays. You brought up the Virginia Tech game, almost identical, but he looked more comfortable. He was more at ease, and then I'd like to see him get that 400 yards against Duke. Nobody in the world loves to run the football more than Don Bailey and see that happen. But if you can win throwing it, throw it. Make it easy on yourself.
They are getting better in the passing game. There's no question. The receivers are getting better. They've got 6 receivers now with double-digit receptions because Colby Young is already in the double digits. That's going to force the defense, put a little pressure on the opponent, trying to sort out, you know, who to emphasize. And I would think at this point, as we spoke with Coach Cristobal, you're going to have to start emphasizing and dedicating some weapons toward Colby Young because of his size and the fact that he's just snatching the ball out of the air.
Well, it was so important last year for Rambo to have Harley and Harley to have Rambo and then have Mallory in the mix as well. It's no different this year. It's important now to have Colby Young. If you want to double up on Colby, so be it. We'll go back to Will Mallory, or we'll go to Burchard, or we'll go to Restrepo. So when some guy is having a ton of success, it's going to force a defense to pick and choose. Didn't have to pick and choose in the month of September. They're going to have to start picking and choosing now. Can Burchard beat us? Can Colby beat us? Can the tight end beat us? Now you have to decide who you want to take out. And if you go after all 3 of those, then the running game, can that beat you? Because you've got so many options. And when Miami gets healthy, and I hope they start getting healthy, that's the big problem right now is who's healthy?
I was going to say, if they can hang in there for the next couple of weeks, and as we sit here on a Tuesday night, we're not sure about Mallory. We're not sure about Burchard Smith. We're not sure about Redding. And a lot of things can change between Tuesday and Saturday. But if you somehow get through the next 2 weeks of Duke and Virginia and get yourself to November and then get some guys back, which would include Restrepo for November, you might have an offense in November that could be tough to contend with. But right now, it's a lot of moving parts.
Joe, don't forget Ja'Kai Clark. And because you've got a guy, that's your quarterback, that's your other quarterback. That center position is responsible for making a ton of calls on every single snap. So his loss has hurt this offense as well. And I'm with you. A team now that has gained experience. We've got some young guys that are experienced that are stepping up. We found some new faces. We've gotten Latson, who's new here. But the last 3 ball games for him have been difference makers for us. And you're going to see a guy, you know, if he stays on track, he'll explode because he'll finally see that what he can do instead of what he's been told he can do. He's seeing it himself, and that with that comes confidence.
And I think going back to Van Dyke for a moment, with receivers catching the football, maybe they picked up the tempo just a little bit. There's no hesitation for him. Right, this seems like there's very little hesitation, and he's making plays in the pocket. He's one of those guys you mentioned run. He's not going to kill you with his legs, but he can drift just enough left or right to get the ball down the field.
The thing about him is he's athletic enough to cause a problem, and the more important thing is that it makes the defense have to deal with him. The first down that he got in that ball game was his big a first down as anything. And then you just go back to offense again. Now Ja'Cory Brown. You're going to have to spend how long now? If you're the opponent, is Duke spend 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes? And how much would they have spent if he broke that play and ran for 60-some-odd yards for a touchdown last week? Now you're dealing with another piece of weaponry that the opponent has to deal with. And so it's starting to all come together, and it's about on schedule for that. And Miami will find the run again, and they'll continue to blossom. But, there is a plan. You go into the game, and you figure out what part of that plan you can execute, and then you live on it until they stop you.
I don't want to jinx this, but I think Van Dyke is built of granite. You know, he does take a lot of hits. He does move around. He does play a lot of football. He never misses a practice. He never. To me, when I watch him practice, it never looks like he's sore.
No, he is, in my opinion, really, he's underrated. I mean, you know, he came into the season, everybody's blah, 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 and I got that. But, like, the side of him that you talk about, how tough he is, and how he quietly goes about his attention to detail in his work and his work ethic. And, you know, I go back to the beginning of fall camp. He's out there staying after practice. Going to the spring, he's out there. I mean, he provides leaders. He's not a rah-rah guy and a jump-up-and-down guy, but this team realizes how hard he works, how important it is to him, and another part of it is that weight room. He refigured his body as well. I mean, he went in there and set an example, and he's one of your captains, and we're very lucky to have him, and Jake Garcia proved that we're lucky to have him too. And now you got Ja'Cory Brown, so all three of these guys in that quarterback room are have the ability to contribute.
I also think you're starting to see the effects of the coaching taking place. There are a lot of things technique-wise which you would understand, and you would see that with your eye. But also, I think they've been adjusting like crazy. And then I think the other element is players getting accustomed to coaches, coaches getting accustomed to players. That's not a process that happens overnight. Maybe in some instances, but not really. It doesn't happen overnight. And from a coaching perspective, now I think they've got a better idea of understanding what they have, what they can work with, what assets they have. From a player's perspective, probably have a better understanding of what the demands are going to be each and every day. So I think you're starting to see some of that come together. Again, the wild card is injuries kind of knock you sideways on that. But if they can just keep pulling it together, these next 2 weeks are really big games to set yourself up for November.
They are, and Miami knows that, right? The head coach, Mario Cristobal, knows that. And he relays that message every single chance he gets. And you look at this team, and I'm starting to see that too. And you're starting to see really what they are starting to understand is what's expected of them and what's not going to be tolerated. We had a game where there were some penalties. A lot of those penalties shouldn't be tolerated. And I'm here to tell you, and you're my witness, nobody's at this practice and around this program more than you and I. There's officials. Zebras are here every day. Every day there's zebras here. And the officials are relaying what the players are doing, and they'll get the penalty thing fixed too. And it's one thing after another and creating a new standard, and that's what Coach Cristobal is doing. But it's coming together, and you're right. Miami's got to get through Duke because I think people have no idea what the Duke Blue Devils look like. They have no clue that they've got a quarterback that's darn near in the class of Drake May, okay? They got no idea that they got a defensive end that could play anywhere in the country. They got no idea they got a couple defensive tackles that could help any school in America. They have no idea that they've got an offensive line that's as experienced as that. And it's going to be every bit as tough to beat Duke as it would have been to beat North Carolina or anybody else.
I'm going to attribute the penalties the other day. That's the most penalties Miami's had in 7 years. I'm going to attribute some of that to offensive line in and out. You know, guys that hadn't played, crowd noise, some of that stuff. I think they're going to fix that. And I also think it's an aberration because going in, they were the least penalized team in the ACC. So it was only a matter of time before the ACC refs caught up. I'm kidding.
I knew that you would have a theory on that. Go back to the offensive line part. When you change one player on the offensive line, it's very, very difficult. When you change two players on the offensive line, it's even more difficult. And when you change one of those players who makes all the calls on the offensive line and has not played center before in a football game, it makes it even more difficult again to try and get all these calls straight. It will get fixed. It will improve. And there is a conspiracy theory that I believe with you as well.
I mean, truth be told, they had trouble running back-to-back plays without a flag. So I'm confident that will get fixed. 20th meeting, Miami and Duke, Hard Rock Stadium. I'm going to give you Miami Duke and put it in perspective this way. There's nobody in Durham that thinks University of Miami basketball, or thought University of Miami basketball, could beat the Duke Blue Devils. And Coach L has beat them like 9 times. Right now they probably figured out that Miami not only can beat Duke in basketball, but it's a real thorn in their side. It would behoove us not to take that same approach, that Duke can't beat you, because Mike Elko went out and got a bunch of transfers, some from smaller schools, but he does have a wild card, and that is the quarterback. And also, they've done a good job, got a veteran coaching staff, and they've done a good job of emphasizing certain things to win. One of them would be on offense. They don't turn it over, right? No fumbles, a couple of interceptions. You can't sack them. They haven't been sacked, and they don't have negative plays. Therefore, third down is always 3rd and 5. And then on defense, 3rd and 5 or less, then on defense, they take the ball away.
The other thing that we can't forget is they have 3 coaches on that staff that were here last year, and 3 pretty darn good coaches, and they can relay the personalities of these players. They can relay the positives and the weaknesses that the players have. They can give you a personnel report on a big part of this team. So I think that that's something you got to figure in the equation. And listen, make sure that if you're a Miami fan, come to the Miami Duke game. It'll be worthwhile. You're going to see great football, but your Hurricanes need you.
Don't kick it to Jalen Stinson, by the way. He returned 100 yards last year against Miami. Really good kickoff returner. Well, to your point, you know, hopefully we get a big crowd there. All you got to do is look back at last week. Saw some wild crowds in college football that I think helped the home team win some games. So certainly we understand 12:30 games, hard to get to and all that stuff. But, hey, Mario Cristobal is here. This is what everybody wanted. So time for everybody else to do their part.
I have an answer for that 12 or 12:30. It's 7 times a year. Who cares what time it is, right? 7 times a year you get to go root your home team on. You get to go watch a head coach that grew up in Dade County, a head coach that went to high school in Dade County, a head coach that won 2 national championships at your University of Miami. To me, there's no reason not to go to a football game, whether it's 12:30 in the afternoon or 12:30 at night. It doesn't matter. You go 7 times a year, and you support your team, and you support all this local talent. Everybody says, we got to recruit Dade and Broward County. Well, Miami is recruiting Dade and Broward County. Come support them, and come support the other guys as well.
That would be 1-800-GO-CANES, by the way, or hurricanesports.com. Okay, Miami and Duke on Saturday, 12:30. We're on the air at 8:30. We will continue on the show right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.